You're excited and ready to go, and I know I look like I died 3 or 4 days ago, but still I have enthusiasm and I have energy and I'm ready to go. Every time I start chapels, and I do these all the time, this is the way I start. Now, if you're an adult or a visitor, this is just as much for you as anybody else. And it's always better to participate with Uncle Mike than not. I just warn you of that right now, right? So everybody, to get started, I want you to lean to the right, please. Lean further. Lean further. Good. Now, lean to the left. Go that way. Go. Then, raise your hands this way and shout glory. Let me hear it.
Glory!
Shout glory!
Glory!
Put your hands down low all the way to your toes. Go to your toes. I want to see if you have a spine. Good. Then bring your hands up slowly like this. This could be a problem for some blonde girls in the room. But put your fingers and hands like this, and then you're going to go upside down like this, and everybody shout, okay!
Okay!
Good, all right, let's go from the start. Here we go. Some new visitors are doing well. Here we go. Lean to the right. You like that too much. Don't touch that girl. You will die. Okay? You have a no-touching policy. But he's going, oh, yeah. Lean, baby. I got your number, man. God, your number. Okay, straight back up. All right, here we go. Maybe we ought to move them. What are you laughing about? You're stuck between two girls. He goes, he's like in a goober joy match here. Going, all right, God bless man. All right, here we go. Ready? Lean to the right and lean to the left and raise your hands this way. Put your hands down low, then bring them up slow. And everybody shout! Good. Now, I am an old person. Now, you guys from Korea, this is going to overwhelm your physical, verbal presentation. I'm telling you, if you're from China, this will just kind of make you the emperor of all times here. It's the wowing word of all generations, and it's not used today. I don't understand it. One of my favorite words of all time is the word swell. Let's say it together, okay? Say, ain't it swell? Ain't it swell? Say it again. Ain't it swell? Man, if you get enthusiastic, it's a lot more enjoyable, okay? Is that little thing too tight around your collar? That little leopard that's kind of grabs you on the way out the door. I like that, okay. Say, ain't it swell to sing so well? Turn to the person next to you, give a high five. Then watch me, I'm a professional, watch me. Then do a hand dive. Not this, just this, okay? Because it's just so swell. Okay, from the start, here we go, ready? Lean to the right and lean to the left and raise your hands this way. Put your hands down low, then bring them up slow. And everybody shout! Ain't it swell to sing so well. Just give a high five. Then do a hand dive. Because it's just so
swell.
Put your hands on your knees. Put your hands on your hips. We can find those hips, can't we? Yes. Put your head and your hands this way. Where did they get this retarded bone guy? Give a pat on the back. Pat on the back. Somebody, hit him. Slap him. There you go. Here. Then, I know it is difficult. You know, it's Monday. It's a new week. And it's a new opportunity of education or one of it. And you slept in later than you should. You didn't. You know, polish those old pearly whites after you had your Pop-Tart. But I still want you to do this nonetheless. I want you to muster up the cheesiest, stupidest looking grin you can and turn to the person next to you. Do it right now. Here, okay, good. All these things. Yeah. Then everybody shout!
Okay.
Get those hands up. Everybody shout!
Okay.
Do you understand me, my friend? You communicate. When we do this, I don't care if you have glasses on, oh my brother, you must also do this. Okay, all right, here we go. Put your hands on your knees. Put your hands on your hips. Put your head in your hands this way. Give a pat on the back. And a big toothy grin. And everybody shout! Ain't it swell? Ain't it swell to sing so well? Just give a high five. Good. Then do a hand dive. Because it's just so
swell.
What is it?
Swell.
What is it in this Christian school?
Good job.
Now, I will be doing, I'm not going to do as many today, but I'm going to do some of the most mentally deranged songs that you've ever been tortured with in your life. You know, I've worked for the Wilds, I worked up at Northland, I've been at Kobiak, I've worked at all those places, and every place I've gone doing youth rallies and stuff, I've had to write, you know, different songs to, again, do what I was doing. And this is, I have like a zillion versions of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain to Come, so it's a safe song. I've got Come Around Acapulco, Come Around Honolulu, you know, and all that. But this has to be my all-time favorite. You know, growing up, and you know, I'm 6 years old, I'm almost dead, I understand that. But growing up in my teenage life and living, it was so much simpler. You know, you pass somebody on the street, you'd say, "Hello, how are you?" Say that to the person next to you. But you know, today it's kind of like gangsta. It's, "How you doing?" You know, that kind of, get your hands up, no DCA, no gang signs from, you know, New Hampshire. Get your hands up and go, "How you doing?" You tell the nerd guys, like, "How you doing?" And then the homie boys are going, "How you doing?" You know, "How you doing?" Yeah, okay. Alright, so, yeah, and then, now listen, then, if you're in a hurry, wouldn't it be easy just to go, "Hi"? Say that to the person next to you.
"Hi."
You know, now it's like, "Yo." Hey, wait a minute, get her?
"Yo."
So we're going to sing She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain when she comes, "Yo, babe." Okay, you got it? Let's try it again. "She'll..." I'm not singing a solo, so help me out. "She'll be coming around the mountain."
Yo,
the person next to you, say, "Hey, yo, babe."
"Yo, babe."
"She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes."
"Yo, babe."
"She'll be coming..." I'm trying to watch Pastor do this. He's trying to go, "Yeah, get down, get up here." "She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes."
"Yo, babe."
Now, the next one, "She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes." Does anybody know what a Beamer is?
Yeah.
What's a Beamer? It's a real nice car, okay? And one that most of you will never be able to afford. But take your hands like this and go, "Nice car." Let me hear it. "Nice car." "She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes."
"Nice car."
"She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes."
"Nice car."
"She'll be cruising in her Beamer." What? "She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes." Good. All right. Now, next one, "We'll kill the old red rooster when she comes." Now, my grandma had a farm and horses and all this stuff, and she had chickens. And my grandma, a little scrawny old hen herself, she would go and pick up. She'd grab that chicken's head and go twist, pop, and then go hack, you know. And we're in New Hampshire, okay? We know how to do this more efficiently. "We'll kill the old red rooster when she comes." Get your hand up, ready? Now, I know there's gun laws, but we don't care. Ready? "Well, kill the old red rooster when she comes." "Yeah, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes." "Yeah, we'll kill the old red rooster. Help me." "Kill the old red rooster. Well, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes." If you shoot a chicken with a shotgun, if you're not gun stuff, you don't get this. But if you shoot a chicken with a shotgun through the whole meal, you'll be going, ding, buckshot. You got it? Ding, a little louder on the ding. Ding, a little spittle on the chicken. Call, call, call. Over here. "Yeah, we'll have chicken and dumplings when she comes.
Yeah,
we'll have chicken and dumplings when she comes. Me. Nice car. You'll be." Now, lastly, she'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes. Grandmas are precious, precious commodities in life. But, you know, as grandmas get older, they start falling apart. You know, it's just a natural gravitational pull devastation. But what happens, let's say, here's an example. Let's say little Susie, for the first time, is going to have a sleepover with grandma.
And they get ready for bread. First time, it's kind of a, you know, nervous time. And Grandma, she gets ready. She takes off her hair. You know, she takes out her teeth. She pulls out her hearing aid, her left eye, her wooden leg. That could be traumatic for a child. Can I have an amen, please? So this one, we're going to do this side and this side. I think I want this side of the room to say, no way. Let me hear it.
No way.
And this group says, no how.
No how.
Louder.
No how.
So this group says,
no way.
This group says,
no way.
And then together we go, uh-huh. Together, yeah, let's go, right? Uh-huh. Give a little sassy, okay? Uh-huh. Maybe some of you do that way too well. Here we go. Well, okay, you need to loosen the leopard here, okay? Well, still have to sleep with Grandma. Yeah, she'll have to be good to Grandma when she comes.
No way, no how.
Yeah, she'll have to be good to Grandma.
What? Have to be good to Grandma.
Well, she'll have to be good to Grandma when she comes.
No way, no how.
Hey.
Nice car, you babe.
Can you guys just a round of applause? Thank you. Now, I know that some of you know this, but probably most don't. You know, I'm buds with that one-eyed guy, Ron Hamilton, Patch of Pirate. We've been friends for a lot of years. And, you know, I've had the privilege to write some songs for him. Some of you have sung my songs and don't even know it. Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, whatever. You know, all those songs. But the one I have not given to him that Shelley likes more than any song I've written, it goes like this. And this is, of course, we're going to sing this every day. It goes, I'm going back, 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 when I should be pressing on. I'm going back, 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 when I should be growing strong. Pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, 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 I must be pressing on. And on, and on, and on. Ha, 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 this could get your thumbs up. Let's try. Ready? I'm going back, 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 when I should be pressing on. I'm going when I should be growing strong. Pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, 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 I must be pressing on, and on, and on. Man, do you have a neck, brother? You can do this one, okay? Yeah, you could. I'll tell you, he's like going 3 feet this way from the bathroom. That is, you can peek around the corner and see if you go down to the dryer. Ooh, yeah. So a little more like the chicken after the corn. Practice with me, ready? On and on and on and on. Not so much, okay? I love the enthusiasm of the young lad here, but he's going to have like back problems before he's 16 now. I hear the verses. I'll get back to the chorus. Maybe I can get to the verses before we get done with this. When I should be doing right, I end up doing wrong. Instead of going forward, I'm where I don't belong. Now you do this part. Get your hands up like this. I need to be faithful. Go forward for the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing on together. I'm going. When I should be pressing a little louder, I'm going. When I should be growing strong, pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing and on and on and on and on. To know is not the problem, but living what I know, learning from the Bible, then show what I should show. You know, we're going here. Get your hands up. I need to be faithful. Go forward for the Lord. Not back, back, back. I must be pressing on. I'm going. When I
should be pressing on.
I'm going.
Back, back, back.
When I should be growing strong. Pressing on for Jesus, growing stronger in the Lord. Now back, back, back. I must be pressing on and on and on and on and on together. I must be pressing on. Way to go, seventh graders! Yeah! That's not the girls either, that's right. Well, you know, I knew.
and I you know, I was trying to pray. What am I? I really got my 3 days together. And usually when I do this kind of stuff, I've got all week long to torment you and corrupt you and all that stuff. But I was thinking, what in the world do I do here for you guys? And most of you don't have a clue about what I am, what I do, and how I got to where God has again allowed me to be. So I'm going to give my testimony this morning. You teachers, it's been long enough, you won't remember half of it. You know, since last time I was here, I've been an astronaut. You know, I was a drug dealer. I didn't do any of that stuff. If you got any belch, you know, be a little vandalistic. You know, make it fresh. No, I don't. But get your Bibles out. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. That's where I'm going to park. In Philippians chapter 4, you know, there are three things here I found every human being I've ever met. They're looking for these three things. Now, I'll give you a break here today as far as not having your Bible with you. But don't do that tomorrow or even on Wednesday. You know, you got chapel. That's where you're here to learn more of God through His Word. You need to check out whatever speaker is speaking to make sure they're teaching the truths of Scripture. So be a good steward. Yeah, it's in my locker. We'll get it out of your locker. I left it at home. Well, it shouldn't be there. You know, I know the excuses. I made them all too, okay? But you know what? I want you to see from Scripture what God has for you this week. But the three things I found that everybody's looking for are listed actually in chapter 4. And the first one is this. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. As long as your mom and dad let you do everything you want to do and date whoever you want, whenever you want to go, go do what you want to do. And again, I say rejoice. Isn't that how brain dead we are when it comes to true joy? No, what does God want of you and me? Well, it's a command. It's not optional. It's not based on circumstances. God commands you and me, rejoice in the Lord. How often, young people? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. I don't feel like it. Well, get over yourself and be faithful and honor and please the Lord Jesus. So, now you may dub it happiness. I just want to be happy. That's why you do some real stupid things. No, you want to be holy. So you'll have true joy, true happiness, and again, get all God has for you by His working. Now, the next thing I find people looking for down in verse 7. It says, "In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through a nicer cause." If I could only date Herbert. That would be the, oh Bertha, be my woman. You're such a woman of substance to love for all eternity. No, the peace of God that passes all understanding when your hearts and minds are in Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem with a lot of Christian school kids, and again, I do this all the time. The problem I see, and again, I deal with all the time, a lot of kids in Christian schools are just miserable, jail-sentenced people. You know, get me out of this place. I can't wait to get away from these nerds and all this junk here. And the problem's not them. The problem's your heart. And folks don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And this could be you until you make peace with God by receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. All my kids grew up in Christian education. And we were in a Christian school, and then of course we traveled to Manzas. My daughter, she did the old homeschooling thing. But you know what? Joy and contentment and peace and all this, it doesn't come through anything the world has to offer. You'll never have that. And then you may try to drink it and, you know, have 50,000 guys and girl relationships and all that stuff, but it'll still not fill the void. It'll still not bring to your life that which only Jesus can bring through salvation in Him and then keeping your heart and mind in Christ. Now, if you're rebellious, you probably think, well, what an old bald guy. He's already, you know, he's almost dead, so, you know, what, he's had his fun. You're just brain dead as far as the reality of how to fix what's broken. You want true peace. The world cannot bring it to you. It only comes when your heart and mind are in Christ. It's through Him. Then down in verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." And guys, this is not natural. It's not natural to do what's stated here. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." By nature, young people, we're nanners, we're complainers. About this, that, and everything. And you know what? You can learn through the power of God's Word and the presence of God's working.
No matter what you're going through. Some of you may be going through devastation and family problems or financial or whatever relationship difficulty you're facing. But you can still, through that situation, through the power of Christ, still be a testimony of true contentment. So what are these three things I know you're after? You may, again, tag them a little different here, but there's still those three things. Joy, peace, and contentment. Now, what does the devil 24-7 try to convince you of on how to receive this and, again, be fulfilled and satisfied? Here it is. I know. I've been here and done this. If I run with the right crowd, doing the right activities of the world, with the right things of the world, then I'll be filled with joy, peace, and contentment. Pass that by Lindsay Lohan. You know, what a loser. What a cute kid when she was little, but she again is so dysfunctional in her choices. Miley Cyrus. You know, what a scuzzy woman. Are y'all with me here? What a loser as far as life choice. And you can go down the list over and over again of people you're enamored by. That you're wild and you really wish you could have all that they have and be that popular, that again involved in things of the world. But they're miserable, confused, messed up people, aren't they? So again, you want joy, you want peace, you want contentment. Again, the world can't bring it to you. It's only when you make a choice to get your mind and heart in Christ, because it's through Him. Now, what I want to show you, I'm going to have a word of prayer here real quick. But I want to show you what this passage says to contradict and counteract again what the devil's kind of shoving your head and your brain 24-7. Every ounce of media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube or whatever, the media is constantly trying to get you to swallow a hook, line, and sinker, the lie of the devil himself. And some of you are snagged already. So bow your heads and hearts. Let's ask God to give us victory, to do a great work now as well as the rest of the week as we have our time together. I'm looking, you're not. Look in your heart, would you please? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity of chapel. Thank you, Lord, for this Christian school and the testimony it's had for so many years. Lord, help these young people to step up to the plate and again compliment what you're seeking to do through this ministry to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, there's a lot of frustration and confusion with teenagers today, but it doesn't have to be. Help them, God, to listen to you, then respond in total trust, understanding of what you are doing is what's needed and best for our lives. And, oh God, speak to our hearts even here today. Lord, if there's one here that needs to get saved, that's why they're a miserable, miserable Christian school student. God, I pray you'll show them their need of Christ, and they'll get saved even here today. We thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you guys loud to amen? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it like a Southern West Virginia people.
Amen.
Amen. You guys said that doggone, huh? You know, shake that bush. Yeah, all that cow. Now look at Philippians chapter 4 and look down at verse 5. This is very, very important information for you. If you want to fix what's broken, you want to keep the wagon on the track of faithfulness, you need this stuff, so listen very carefully. It says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. And here's an important factor, the Lord's at hand. Now, you know what the devil wants you to have, that nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms mentality? You know, where you, and you're just a whiny pants all the time. And you're constantly blame shifting and making excuses on why you don't do right. You understand the Lord's at hand for you just as much as anybody else? Yeah, he's at hand for me, he's at hand for Brother Moody, he's at hand for Pastor, you know, he's at hand for these faithful teachers, but he's just as much at hand for you. And what's he looking to do? Well, save you if you need to be saved. But once you're saved, he gives you whatever necessary to be faithful and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You have not because you ask not. So get your thumb out of your mouth. Quit feeling so sorry for yourself and having a pity party. The world does not revolve around you. I don't care if your mom even tells you that. It all revolves around Jesus. And again, that's the true source of joy, peace, and contentment. So get over yourself and understand the Lord is at hand for you. Now look down at the next verse. It says, be careful for nothing but in everything. Now, question, young people. When he says everything, does he mean everything?
Yeah.
So why don't you do that? Your pride. I got it. What? I got it. Yo. I got it. You don't have it. You ain't got it, okay? You aren't there. You know, as a teenager, will you accept the fact you haven't learned it all yet?
Like I know. Like I wish girls would not do that, okay? I really would just like to slap them and say, don't you know any other words? Then like actually, I have no hair today. I pulled it out with those people, okay?
But you know, you are like, you know what I'm saying, like, you are supposed to do this. This is not optional. Could it be you run into that wall in your life, and you run into that wall, and you trip over your carnal toe, and your ungodly choosing, because you're not doing this?
Yeah.
For sure. That's right. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with the right spirit. How many grumpy teenagers we do? Point to them right now. You know they're in the room. They're all over the place. You know, you're a grump because you choose to be a grump. And you're unfaithful to God's will for your life. Look what it says. It says, everything by prayer and supplication with the right spirit. A spirit of thanksgiving, gratefulness. How much do we do that? In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning everybody but you.
Brother Mayor, you don't understand the nerdy parents I have.
Every teen thinks their parents are nerdy, okay? Because most parents are nerdy. That's just the way it is. And you don't get it. See, it's amazing how much smarter your parents will become your sight the older you get. It's just the phenomena of mankind, how that transition takes place as your brain wakes up as you get older. But could the problem possibly be you?
Oh, that means I've got to change. That means I've got to be something different than what I like being.
That's the point. You're not right. You're not going to get it, and you're not going to get it done unless you get with the program of God's faithful, perfect Word. Look at the verse again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God. And there's the peace verse. You want to curb some of your selections of what you watch on your computer? You want to watch the right stuff on TV that'll help you be more Christ-like, more conscious, aware of God's presence and peace and joy? Then practice verse 8. A good friend of mine, Major Ron Brooks, said this is the verse we use to filter out the junk and gunk of the world. Look at verse 8. It says, finally, brother, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and you feel like it! Is that in there? No. It says, think this way. Period. Think on these things. See, you don't want to listen to that because your music is more important than your right relationship with Jesus Christ. Watching the most popular, perverted, ungodly action flick is more, again, crucial to your life's existence than bringing glory and honor to Christ by what you fill your body, if you're saved, which is the temple of God, with. You know what? You're so hook, line, and sinker, again, drawn in by the lies of the devil, and it only hurts you, and it never brings to your life what you're really looking for, but you haven't come up to the smart point yet of saying, hey, that's a dumb choice, and this is the right choice. So God says, here's the program of faithfulness. Think on these things. Then look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, those things which you have both learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me. What's the next little word? Let's see how it works here. What's the next word?
What? That was pathetic. I think it was one real deep bass voice teenage girl.
But who's ever said that? I don't know. Stay away from that one. But what is the word? Say it with me. It's the word do. Look up here.
Is the problem you don't know what's right?
That's not my problem. My problem is saying no to my weak, old, rotten, sin-filled flesh and saying no to me and yes to God. I know how to do what's right. But boy, do I have a battle every day to say, shut up, Maynard. Honor God. You don't matter, Maynard. Honor God. It doesn't matter what you think, Maynard. Honor God. I fight that still, and again, I'm 6 years old, and I should know better. I should do better. But the Apostle Paul even had trouble with his flesh. And he was far more godly than anything else will hope me on the face of this earth, to say the least. So you have a choice. Question is, will you just be a hearer? Because you're being taught. I know who you're surrounded by. I know how blessed you are. Some of you have some, I know some of your families. You are so spoiled with godliness 24/7, but you're still not a doer of the Word of God. And again, why in the world do you choose to score points for the devil instead of making a right choice to bring glory and honor to God? Again, that which will again benefit you as you seek to bless and honor the Lord Jesus Christ by just making smart biblical choices. And then we have the content verse here too in verse 11. You know, when I graduated high school, I was only 17 years old. And I didn't get my driver's license. I was a coward. I was a spoiled, rotten car dealer kid, and I had all the muscle cars you'd ever want to drive. We have a gas shortage today because of my generation. Are y'all with me? And I was a spoiled, rotten kid, the kind of kid you just hated, loved to hate in your town. Because I flaunted it. I dated the mortician's daughter. Oh, well, we have a lovely, lovely pair. And, you know, I was just a spoiled, rotten, egotist. I had hair back then, people. Y'all with me? I thought my stuff was better than anybody else's. What happened when I graduated from high school? Something very historic was taking place. Old Vietnam, it was kind of ending up, winding down. But Disney World opened. And everybody that, as far as my hanging around buds, we were talking about getting in the car and cruising down to Disney and bless Disney with our presence. Guess who ended up going by himself? Moi. I was a groovy dude. I had my 750 Honda with the baffles out, I may add. It was a loud, obnoxious, yeah, I love him, see. But I had that, and I was a cruising dude. And again, I walked into Disney and said, hey, you can start now because I am here. I thought, I am here. I mean, you guys are going to be successful. I thought I was the greatest attraction that Disney ever had. And I think I'm pretty close to that. But what happened was, I started working where they shouldn't have put me. Now look up here. All right, I'm looking to draw attention to myself any way I can. They put me on Main Street, USA. Now, if you've been at Disney, that's the first place you come to in the Magic Kingdom. I was driving those little antique cars, double-decker omnibus, you know, the trolley cars. I would sing, I would dance, I'd do anything to draw attention to this wonderment of mankind. Are you with me? Not your head. Yeah. And you know what? I was so upset after 2 weeks why they did not make me a supervisor. Why I was not in charge of this whole operation. That's how stupid and egotistical I truly was at that juncture of life. Well, I worked there for about 7 months, and you know, I gave all excuses, all kinds of excuses of why I was leaving. You know the bottom reason I left Disney? I mean, this bottom line. I was accepted to college, family business, you know, those were part of it. I miss my mommy. I am a major mommy's boy. My mom's still alive today. She's 135. And we got a prop in the corner. We stuffed her. She's just a good looker. And, you know, I still love my mom. I call her every day. And she's a godly lady and encouragement. Of course, she's not dead. I was just kidding. I have dad stuff in the corner. It's just not mom. But what happened was, you know, I went back to Dunkirk, Indiana. Folks, it's like being from Peterborough. Okay, it's a place you want to be from. Are y'all with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? That, you know, get me out of this place. Well, I got rescued. I ended up going to a private boys camp up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. You got Chautauqua here, north of here, Rhinelander in the middle. You know the only good thing about having a private boys camp? Look up, you guys. You'll want to get me here. There was a private girls camp across the lake. Hallelujah. God, so good. So I worked at this private camp. We did a lot of canoe trips back and forth. I'll tell you that right now. But what happened was, I was the camp guitarist. And I was a hack, but I was a camp guitarist. I did most of their fun times and all that stuff, counselor. But you know what? It gave me a bug that I thought would fill the hole in my life. I was going to be an entertainer. I was so stuck on myself, I had this mindset. You know, if American Idol was on now, I'd win every year. Voice, eat your heart out. I would be the grand prize winner of all time. Of course, you Christian schools have no idea. Kids don't know what I'm talking about because you don't have any TVs. And the ones you do are black and white.
like.
Okay, so what happened, I worked at this camp, I went back to Disney, I played guitar and sang out the campgrounds, kind of a hokey thing, but we did Disney sing-alongs and all this. I had a guy smoking dope as my partner, not during, but before and after. And you know what, it was fun. But see, I was doing all these things that everybody was talking about, but here's what frustrated me. It wasn't filling the hole in my heart and life that I thought it was supposed to. So I ended up, started doing this, that, and the other, and then working on a cruise ship that went from Miami, Florida to Caracas, Venezuela. I was a host and entertainer and sports director on this cruise liner. 800 passengers for 2 weeks. I mean, I was living like an ever-loving king and getting big bucks at that point. Got done with the cruise ship. I moved back to Orlando, Florida. I'm playing guitar and singing in a steak and ale restaurant during cocktail hour. I'm getting write-ups in the paper. Disney comes to me and says, come on back, work for us. Holiday Inn's acting like nobody's business. And I end up working for Holiday Inn. But here's what happened that just shook the tree of our family living. My little brother, Doug, went to a church camp. He and Pastor used to be roommates with Bob Jones. That's how much change came to our family. But what happened, Doug went to church camp, and this lady confronted him and said, hey, Doug, do you know for sure if you died where you'd spend eternity? Now, here's Doug's response, and I would have done the same thing. He says, well, I think so. Well, I hope so. And praise God, in this liberal, non-Bible preaching camp, this lady said, would you like to know so? So my brother did say, he's a loser nerd, like most brothers are. Okay, I'm going to say my brother's just a big old nerd for you tomorrow. But what happened, my brother comes home and witnesses to my dad. And my brother wasn't perfect by any stretch. He was a teenager, okay? But my brother was such a new creature in Christ, he impacted my dad's life. And my dad, a cussing, crooked, cheating car dealer, got saved at the age of 42 in our family room. Now, we're in a liberal, non-Bible preaching church. You guys are spoiled. You get blessed with all kinds of good teaching. But what happened, that comes after me. And I'm sitting on a barroom stool blessing people with my musical presence. Well, Dad tells me I'm a sinner going to hell. I need Jesus as my Savior. I was a church kid growing up. I always loved God, believed in the Bible. I signed a decision slip when I was a freshman at Bible camp. I'm a Christian. I wasn't anywhere close. I didn't have a clue. You know what I really thought? And I know you guys are taught better than this, but I didn't know any better. I thought if my good works outweighed my bad, then God would let me into heaven. And we know that's not scripture. We know the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I ended up working for Holiday Inn. You know, I ran real good. I did. For any responsibility, any pressure of life, I was very proficient at that. But I ended up working for Holiday Inn in Cocoa Beach. I was over in Sarasota, Florida, barroom stuff. Ended up in the Florida Keys. I mean, I had it made down there. I had an oceanfront efficiency. I'd go scuba diving, snorkeling, wrestling alligators. I was real good at that. And I could go fishing with the best guides in the Florida Keys. I was making more money. I had my name up in lights. Folks coming all the way from Miami to hear me play and do my musical thing. It was a pleasure. I was a miserable dog. Why? Because I was convicted. I needed Jesus as my Savior. I had the brass ring. I had everything you carnal Christian teenagers are just longing to have and tossing aside anything, the eternal benefit that will never bring to your life that only which Jesus can bring, and you think you're smarter than God. And those burdened school teachers, those burdened parents who just want you to win instead of to lose. Well, what happened? Well, I asked this girl to marry me, and I don't care. That was real kind. You know, the Christian people say, I prayed about this, and I don't think. I just said, I'm going to be a star. Woman, you're not star material. Someday, if you're lucky, I'll come back and bless you with my prayer. Girl, I was a creep. Now, I've been married to her for 37 years. She wished she'd said no way back then, but that's another story altogether, okay? But what happened, I left the Florida Keys. I lived in Miami for a while. Then I ended up in Indiana. And I was doing youth rallies with contemporary Christian artists, some that they're even kind of popular today. I'm lost as can be. Counseling Methodist church camp, lost as can be. I'm busy for the cause of Christ, but I'm going to hell in a handbasket. I'm lost as can be. How'd you get saved? I went to my grandma's church, and I'll be done with this. And this lady, they had testimony time, and I stood up and said, "You people are gone down." Did I speak? Yes, sorry. If you sat up straighter, you'd have better posture and listen a lot better, okay? And the same thing for back there with you. Yes, sir, you're kind of slouching too. You're going to have a big hump on your back, and they'll never let you back in your country. So sit up straight, okay? Sit up straight and listen with attention. I'm closing this deal. Listen carefully. Here's what happened. I gave testimony, "You people are going to hell without Jesus." That was me. I was talking to myself. And afterwards, this lady came to me and said, "Young man, you're excited." I never knew that. Hello. And she said, "I hear you play guitar and sing. We're the teens. Would you come with us on this ministry endeavor?" And my first thought was, how much does this gig pay? It was all about the money. And she asked me the question, though, and here's what God used to bring me on my face to Him. She said, "When did you accept Jesus as your Savior?" She didn't ask me if I was busy in Christian stuff or believe that Jesus died, buried, rose again, 36. When did you accept Jesus as your Savior? I couldn't answer.
Well, brother, did you ever?
Yeah, I told you. I filled out a decision slip. I went to the altar 9 times. You know why? Same reason some of you went? To shut my dad up. Man, he's like the bunny with the drum. He would not back off. He kept going and going. That's how parents never quit. You know, if he listened to dad, maybe he wouldn't have to go so long. Hint, hint, hint. Okay, I don't hurt you all. Okay, so listen to me. Here it goes. What happened, I went home that night. And now I finally realized Mike needed the grace of sinner like everybody else. That was a hard pill to swallow. And I got down on my knees and I prayed this. "Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me my sin." And I remember saying this like this yesterday, just back in 1975. I said, "Somebody get that phone, please." But what happened was, I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me." And I said, "God, I don't understand why you died for me. You know what, young people? I haven't figured that out yet." But right then and there, when I trusted by faith Jesus, no question, no doubt, God saved my soul. Now, here's my burden. Here's my burden. A lot of kids in Christian school, they've been learning the Word of God since they could birth and walk. You know, and you've been so saturated with the truth that you acknowledge it as truth. But it's not your own. There's no fruit. You have no joy. You have no peace. You have no contentment. Now, it could be that you're just backslidden as an old barnyard door and you're rebelling against the will of God. But could it be possible that some of you just flat out simply need to quit playing the game and get saved? I see it all the time when kids finally are honest to admit, "I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior." But probably for most of you, it's the hook, line, and sinker thing, isn't it? Right things of the world. Right people of the world. Right things of the world. Right people, things, activities. That's what you think will really fix what's broken. Been there, done that. Never, ever fills the void and brings to your life what you're looking for. It only comes one way, young people. When you're smart enough, care enough to have your heart and mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this chapel challenge. I pray, God,